Welcome back to our study, and I hope you're having a good week. If you're watching this on Thursday, I hope you're having a good week. Whatever day you're watching this, hope you're having a good day. But thank you for joining us again. Today we're going to be in chapter 5, and we're going to try to get through the whole chapter. We'll see if we can, but we're going to pick up where we left off. And remember, at the end of chapter 4, Mordecai asked Esther to go before the king to be a mediator for the king. And so she says, if I perish, I perish, and I'm going to go see him. And so that's where we pick up. And remember, she had a fast for 3 days, and all the Jews were going to fast with her. And so now we pick up on chapter 5, on verse 1. And it says, on the third day. So this was after the fast now. She did carried out what she said she would do. And it says that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters, while the king, sitting on his royal throne inside the throne opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight. And he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. So the first hurdle is cleared. He doesn't kill her. So because remember, she said, you can't just show up to the king unannounced, or else he could have you killed, unless he holds out the golden scepter. So here what we see, and we always have to remember, is that God is working here. Even if she doesn't know it, and certainly if King Ahasuerus doesn't recognize it, God is working here, because it says that she won favor in his sight. Because she dressed herself up. She made herself appropriate for to go to him. She was very humble. She allowed him to hold out the scepter. She didn't barge in or anything like that. And so we see that she won favor in his sight. And so obviously God is working here. And so, like I said, the first hurdle is cleared. So verse 3. So the king said to her, what is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to half of my kingdom. And that right there is kind of a sign that something's going on, because Ahasuerus has never acted like that. Like, he's so wrapped up in himself that now why would he offer to grant her request without even knowing what it is? And then to say, even up to half of the kingdom. Like, that's crazy that he would say that without even knowing what she's going to ask. But notice her response. Verse 4, it says, and Esther said, if it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a feast that I have prepared for the king. Like, she doesn't make the request about the edict. She doesn't say, hey, okay, here's what I'm asking you to do. Cancel the edict. She doesn't do that. Instead, she says, I've prepared a feast and I want you and Haman to come. So notice what verse 5 says. It says, then the king said, bring Haman quickly so that we may do as Esther asked. And so the king and Haman came to the feast that Esther had prepared. So he didn't want to put it off. You know, he's like, let's do it now. And so they came to the feast. Verse 6, and as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king said to Esther, what is your wish? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled. So he says that again right there in front of Haman. He's saying, hey, what is it now? You know, and I'll grant it. I'll give it to you. Then Esther answered, my wish and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my wish and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come to the feast that I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said. So here again, she says, she doesn't just make the ask. She says, tomorrow I'll tell you. She says, if you came, that let me know that you really did want to fulfill my request, but I'm not going to tell you now. I'll tell you tomorrow. We're like, Esther, why are you putting this off? Like, you get the courage to go do it, and then you put it off for another day. And we don't know exactly why. We don't know if she's scared, you know, if she's still trying to fill it out. But what we see here is that she says, if he comes to my feast, then I know that he's going to grant what I ask. And so she had faith and trust that he really was going to grant what he says. Again, not knowing what it is, but she says, okay, if he comes, then I know. And so he did. And so she says, I will tell you my request tomorrow. And so we see her humility here. We see her faith and we see her humility. That she is going to do what she says, but for whatever reason, she says, I'm going to do it tomorrow. And so notice how she approaches this. She doesn't come in and she doesn't put her finger in his face and tell him all the things that he did wrong. She doesn't go after Haman. No, she's just being humble. She's being a servant here. She's trying to, maybe she's trying to butter them up a little bit, but she's doing it in a way that's humble. And she's not trying to go out of her way to be abrasive or anything like that, or to argue with them. She's just being kind about it. And so we can see how one person is being selfless here. We can see that she's being selfless as she goes through this process. It's the way she's thinking as a process. But notice the selflessness that she is bringing. Now, look at verse 9. And Haman went out that day, so he leaves the feast, joyful and glad of heart. Right, because they had well ate and they had well drank, and so he is happy leaving. But there's that big word, but. When Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he neither rose nor trembled before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. So everything was good until he saw Mordecai as he was leaving the king's palace that day. And he said, oh man, his whole attitude and demeanor and the joy that he had is gone now. And it is now replaced with anger and wrath because he remembers, oh yeah, I hate that guy. And look at what he's doing to me. Look at how he's not paying me respect. So look at verse 10. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and brought his friends and his wife Zeresh. And Haman recounted to them the splendor of his riches and the number of his sons and all the promotions with which the king had honored him, and how he had advanced above all the officials and the servants of the king. So he's just bragging on himself. He's just telling all these great things that he had and how he was second in command and just, you know, can you imagine that being his friend and having to listen to that? But Haman's oblivious to it because he's just talking about how great he is and all the riches that he has and all of his titles and honors and certificates and trophies and everything in his and the wealth that he has and all this. And he's just recounting that to them. But look at verse 12. Then Haman said, even Queen Esther, let no one but me come with the king to the feast she prepared. And tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Verse 13. Yet all this is worth nothing to me so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. So he is sitting here bragged about everything that he has and how all the special attention and all the special access that he has and all the trophies and all the certificates and all the honors and all the glory that is due him. And he says, but none of that means anything if I see Mordecai at the king's gate. He says, all that stuff doesn't mean anything because of how this one person doesn't honor me. He said, all the other honor, all the other glory, all the other trophies, all the other wealth doesn't mean anything if he doesn't honor me. Can you imagine the pride that Haman has here? But look at verse 14. It says, then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows 50 cubits high be made, and in the morning tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it, and then go joyfully with the king to the feast. This idea pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. So Haman's answer is to, or his, actually their friends, his friends and his wife's answer to Haman's pride is to kill Mordecai, because he says, then you'll truly be joyful. You get rid of him, then you'll have nothing standing in your way. Then you can truly enjoy all the glory and all the honor and all the wealth and all the trophies and toys and everything else that you have. It's to kill Mordecai. And so it says it pleased him, and so he had the gallows made. And so 50 cubits is about 75 feet. And we said this before when someone was going to attack the king. Remember when Mordecai protected the king, that this was, they actually like would have impaled them on a stake. And so imagine this, they wanted to put them on a stake that was 75 foot long. And so he calls somebody, he calls his people and he says, make it, because we're going to have Mordecai killed in the morning. So I want us to see in this chapter, chapter 5, how Esther's plans are very selfless, or how she approaches it is very selfless. She humbles herself. She approaches this to honor the king in the right way. She tries to approach it in the right way with humility. And then look at Haman's plans, that's just full of pride and selfishness and self-centeredness, even to the point where he wants to kill Mordecai. Esther wants to honor the king and even Haman by treating them well and feeding them well and trying to lift them up, whereas Haman looks down on someone who's below him, who's beneath him. Like, why is he so worried that Mordecai doesn't give him honor? Mordecai's well below him as far as in rank and in that society where they were. Why is Haman even bothering with worrying about that? But Esther seeks to honor those, and yet Haman seeks to belittle those and even kill those that are, or someone that's against him. And so we can see what pride and selfishness can do versus humility and selflessness. And if we think about this in the grand story here, remember, Esther is working essentially for God's people. Now, again, she doesn't, may not connect the dots of I'm working for God's people, because we said that, you know, they didn't necessarily recognize God. They were cultural, Israelites, right? They were not, they were just cultural kind of followers of God. They were Jewish by their heritage, but not necessarily Jewish in relation to Yahweh, as far as how they practice their religion and faith and devotion. But notice that she's working for God's people, even under the radar, and yet we see how selfless she is. And we see Haman, who's trying to destroy Mordecai and all of God's people. And we can see Haman is trying to do that. And we can see how he's working with pride and selfishness. And so here's what I want us to think about in our life today as we kind of are wrapping this video up. Is in our life, there are two kingdoms at work at all times. We have God's kingdom, where we can serve to try to further God's kingdom, to share the gospel, to see people know and love God and follow him and obey him. And then there's the kingdom of the world, whose ruler is Satan, who is doing everything he can to try to work against God's kingdom, right? We know God's kingdom always wins. However, Satan is always working and seeking to destroy what God is trying to do, right? And so in our life, we're always going to come with the choice and the we're going to be confronted with the choice of, all right, do we seek to live and honor God, or do we allow ourselves to be lied to and deceived and follow the work of the enemy? And so we have, you know, that's a daily, that's a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, decision that we have to make. But what we can see is that when we follow God's kingdom, when we're working for God's kingdom, when we are seeking to honor God, that should cause us to humble ourselves, lower ourselves, be selfless in how we pursue that. When we're doing that, then more than likely, that's the choice that's going to honor God, whatever in whatever area of your life and whatever you're doing. That if we're seeking to be selfless, if we're seeking humility, if we're seeking others ahead of ourselves, then that's usually what honors God, and that is what furthers his kingdom. But if we get caught up in pride and selfishness and self-centeredness and putting others down and demanding things from them, then we really need to check up, check our heart, and check our actions, and check who we're listening to, and see if we have not been deceived. Because now we're actually working with the plans of Satan the enemy, the one that's trying to work against God's plans. And so I think we need to be mindful of that. And it can happen to all of us. We can be deceived. And so that's something that we need to notice in our life, is which kingdom are we really working to further? God's kingdom, which is marked with selflessness and humility? Or are we getting prideful and wrapped up in ourselves and demanding things from others and putting down others? Because then we're really being deceived and we're following the enemy. And so I want us to think about those two kingdoms. Which one are we, every day of our life? It's not just right now we're making the decision. It's the decision we make in the next moment and the next moment and the next hour and the next day. Because I think hopefully if you're watching this, you want to seek to honor God. But may we always ask ourselves through the power of the Spirit, allow the Spirit to work in our lives and show us. It's why we need God's Word, because God's Word is a mirror. We need the Spirit and the Word to show us and say, man, that's, we're being selfish there. We're being prideful there. We need our brothers and sisters who can speak into us and say, yeah, I think you're being selfish here. And that should trigger, hey, I don't want to work for that kingdom. I don't want to work for that kingdom. God, help me to be selfless. Help me to be humble so that I can further your kingdom, because that's who we want to make sure we're honoring. And so I hope that gives you something to think about, pray about. If there's something in your life right now and maybe you've been kind of trying to put it off, maybe someone has kind of had to correct you recently and you put them away, maybe today the Spirit will say, no, we need to listen to that person, because they're trying to help you so that you honor God's kingdom and not the enemy's kingdom. We certainly don't want to play into that and be working against God's plans, but may we be people that's working to further God's kingdom and be representatives of his kingdom, because we know that ultimately it's his kingdom that wins. And so we want to be following him and obeying him and seeking him and doing everything we can so that we can see the enemy's ultimate defeat, because it will be. Defeated ultimately one day. So God bless you. Hope that encourages you and helps you today. And we will see you all next week.